speaking on, and actually I'm going to be speaking on encouragement and what it is to be an encouraging church, but also what it is to have encouraging leaders. And we're going to be looking, if you want, if you've got a Bible, we're going to be looking at Acts 11. And I'm going to talk a little bit about when Barnabas, whose name means, son of encouragement, well done Tom and others, who was sent to the church in Antioch to encourage them. Yeah. And so I'm going to talk this morning, and hopefully in a very mini way I can be a bit of a Barnabas. Now, what's the feminine for Barnabas? Barnabella. Barnaby. Oh, Barbie. Or maybe Barnaby with an IE at the end. Okay, so I can be a bit of that this morning. Now, obviously, he's pretty famous because he's in the Word of God, and I'm not by name, so I'm not trying to pretend that I'm as great as Barnabas, but the Lord gives us all encouraging gifts, doesn't he? So I'm here this morning, hopefully, to encourage you, and we can all be an encouragement to each other. You know, I want to say right at the beginning that I love this congregation, and I'm not just doing it because I'm talking on encouragement, but whenever I come, I'm really struck by the sense of family that there is here, even in the small number that's here this morning, and it's not normally this small, but because people are away and whatever, it's lovely to see everybody, and just the sharing of family life. When you get to be bigger, there are great things that happen, but there's also the cost, which is that sometimes you don't get the levels of encouragement that you feel in that small family. So I'm not saying stay small, I'm just saying enjoy it while you are small, that you have this family feel, which means that you can just pop up and share stuff. It's fantastic. When you have a larger congregation, it's a bit of a different animal. You know, you have to handle it in a different way. It's all good, but it's different. So just enjoy being family together. So encouragement means this. It means to inspire with courage and confidence. It means to stimulate into cheerfulness, to make bold, to rouse, to reassure, to egg on, and to support. So all those things. So the opposite of encouragement is obviously discouragement, to do the exact opposite. So I haven't written this down, but discouragement is to not inspire. Yeah? To stimulate into misery. to bring fear. When you're discouraged, you can sometimes feel fearful, can't you? What's the opposite of reassurance? Well, think about how you feel if you're not reassured. It's anxiety, isn't it? Fear. All of those things. To egg on. The opposite of that is to just stand there quietly and watch somebody fail or fall. You know, if you've got children and you're egging them on to run the race in sports day, that will encourage them to win or to do well or to finish the race. If you're deciding not to egg them on, they're kind of looking, and as they're looking, they smack into the person in front of them or whatever, and they don't finish the race. It's important to egg each other on, isn't it? So discouragement is the exact opposite. You know, I think encouragement is one powerful gift, because when we encourage each other, we grow, don't we? And the enemy loves it when we discourage each other, or we are discouraged, because it brings fear, anxiety, takes our eyes off him, and takes our eyes off each other. Because what happens when we're discouraged is we end up sometimes turning on each other, don't we? When I feel discouraged, I can be really grumpy at home. Am I the only one? If I'm discouraged because the dog's just been sick or whatever, okay, I could use all sorts of deep things, but I won't. If the dog's been ill all over the carpet, it's a small thing, but in the end you just think, oh, for goodness sake, why did you have to do that, speak to the dog? And then something else happens where somebody knocks something over in another room, and then you get more and more discouraged, and then you just get really, I get really grumpy. Because what discouragement does, it takes away, it doesn't egg me on to a place of cheerfulness at all, does it? That's a very frivolous view, but it can happen in churches on a much deeper level. When things aren't going well, we can actually take away from each other the joy of what it is to know the encouragement that we are supposed to give each other as people who love the Lord, because the Lord is the best encourager ever, and he uses each other to encourage each other, doesn't he? So there will be a bit of a challenge this morning, just to work out what it is to be encouraged, but also what it is to be an encourager. So, bit of audience participation. Everybody's heads go up. Uh-oh, steady. No, don't worry, I won't ask you to dance, Tom. So what do you get encouraged by? It's as simple as that. What or who do you get encouraged by? Shout it out. It helps. Exercise of faith, you see. Florence. Fantastic. She's always encouraging. Brilliant. What else? Good news is encouraging, isn't it? Any more? Is that it? Dave Jones doing mad things. Yeah, bless Dave. See, there's encouragement happening there. Yeah. Anything else? A hug. And a smile. Yeah. It's great when someone smiles at you, isn't it? Yeah. Saying something positive about or to people. Yeah. Answered prayer. Amen. Great. Okay, well, that's good. It's good to do these things, not just because it's a nice little exercise for the sake of it, but it does lift our faith when we begin to realise the things that encourage us personally. So I want to encourage you this week to think about the things that God has given you for your encouragement only. Because there will be things in each of our lives here today that God has said, I'm going to give you that person to encourage you. I'm going to give you that event. I'm going to answer that prayer. He wants to answer all our prayers. But when he answers prayers, it's for an encouragement, it's for our growth, isn't it? This week I met with a friend who I hadn't seen for a while. And I knew that she'd asked to see me, and she wanted to see me about something specific. And what she did was, instead of starting off with a specific thing that she wanted to talk about, she actually spent the first few minutes encouraging me about what she saw that the Lord doing in me. Now, I'm not into bigging myself up at all. So I'm not standing here saying, and I think you all should think the same. But just at that moment, when I'd expected to be having to input into her, she decided that she was going to use the first few minutes just to say, you know what, can I just tell you what a blessing you are? And it doesn't come every day. And when it does come, it's so precious. Because actually it takes your eyes off all of the issues around you that you can focus on as being the discouragements, so where the enemy tries to rob your cheerfulness. Yeah. So what I did was, then we had a really nice meeting, because whatever else she wanted to talk to me about, I was springing into all of that from a place of encouragement. She had egged me on. She had given me a reason to be cheerful. And so again, a challenge to you, if you would like to know the free flow of the Holy Spirit more and more through your life, encourage somebody. Yeah? There is a lot to be discouraged about, and there are a lot of reasons why we could be critical or sad or anxious or fearful. But I just want to say, encouragement is a very underrated gift, because actually the Lord uses it to release something in the Spirit. Yeah? And if you come today feeling not very encouraged, my prayer is that actually you will know that there are people the Lord is putting in your way who are there for your encouragement. Yeah? Okay. I think it's more exhausting to be a discourager than an encourager. Now, that may be because it's partly my gift set, I don't know. But if you set your face to encourage people, actually it feels more releasing in the end, even if you're in a place where you're a bit bleak and dark, because it takes your eyes off yourself. I get more exhausted when I go flat and bland with people, and I'm kind of like this and saying, my life's really bad. If I actually take a step over that hurdle, and we can all do this, not just the leaders, if I can take a step over that hurdle of my own position and where I am, and actually say, I'm going to choose to see outside of myself and encourage somebody else, it is actually incredibly freeing, because it does break something in the Spirit. Yeah, a lot of nods means that you know what that is like. If you become self-centered, your world just becomes very small. If you take yourself out of your self-centeredness and begin to see the good in other people, the Lord does something internally, doesn't he? Inside who you are, we are. So he wants us to grow, and I think one of the areas that we need to grow in is just encouragement and honour of each other. so that we can host the Holy Spirit well, more and more. So, Acts. You got your Bibles open if you've got one. I want to just... we're in Acts 11. We've got to a point where there is a church, so it's like Slough. Okay, there's been the big church in Jerusalem over here. Call it Maidenhead, if you like. You might not want to. But the big church has happened, you know. And then they've gone through some tough times. Right? Lots of persecution. And so everybody scatters, or a lot of people scatter, because of all of the pain and danger and things that they're anxious about. And so what happens is a new church springs up in Antioch. Right? And it's doing really well. And that's where we set the scene. But before that, let me just run through some of the things that have happened in Acts. You probably know Acts really well, but let me just run through some things. So, what's happened already? Well, we had the coming of the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Tongues of fire on the head. Right, I'm going to belt through these. You don't have to write them down and remember them. It just gives you a good kind of framework. Tongues of fire. Believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens to them? They speak in different languages. Okay, keep with me. Okay, then all the crowds gather. Yeah? And then what happens? Yes, people get saved. Come on. Right, okay. People get saved. And then what happens? They get healed, and then they get filled with the Spirit, and they get baptized. Excellent. Oh, it's going well. Then signs and happen. They have everything in. Great. They sell their... And they distribute their... Yes, it's so good. You're so good. They have communion, there's worship, generosity, there's healing of the sick. Okay, who's arrested? Peter and John, arrested and imprisoned, boo. They go before the high priest, they're challenged. They lay down the wealth at whose feet? The apostles' feet. They lay down their wealth. So, then there's deception, lying and death. Who dies? Ananias and Sapphira. Then all sorts of things happen because it changes at that point. There's awe and there's fear and there's terror because they realise this, there's no messing. We're serious now. Okay? Peter's what heals the sick? Shadow heals the sick. He walks around. When he goes around, his shadow heals the sick. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. There's deliverance from demons. Yeah? Keep with me. High priests and the Sadducees get angry, jealous, raging. And then an angelic presence happens in the jail. Breakout happens. There's beatings all over the place. People getting persecuted. They continue to preach the gospel. And then the church government kicks in because the apostles are getting worn out. Okay? So, what's the name of the people who got appointed then? Yeah, but the name, general name. Yes, deacons, rhymes with beacons. Okay, to serve, leaving the apostles' room to teach and preach. Who's one of them who gets stoned? Stephen gets stoned, dies. And his garments get laid at the feet of Saul, who approves of this, thinks it's a good idea. Then severe persecution. Okay, you're getting it. This is the history of where we're at up to chapter 11. Severe persecution. Men and women dragged out of their houses to prison, beginning to scatter because of the fear that kicks in. Big crowds, loads of deliverances, healings going on all the time, attracting weird people. Simon the sorcerer. Weird. Impartation through the laying on of hands. Some bribery happening. Baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch. Who gets converted on the road to Damascus? At Saul, at that point. So he was blinded. He has a vision. Ananias has a vision. His hands laid on Saul. Hands laid on Saul. Of all of the people that God would choose, he chooses Saul. Transformation. God is a transforming God. Okay, keep with me. Barnabas introduces Saul to the apostles. Church grows throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria. Multiplying all the time. The raising of Tabitha from the dead. It's all happening in the first 10 chapters of Acts. Amazing. Many conversions as a result of the raising from the dead, which there would be. Cornelius' vision of the angel. Peter's vision of the four-cornered sheet. So now, Christianity is not just accessible to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. So, here we are. That's where we've got to. Yep. bit of a whistle-stop tour through the early 10 chapters of Acts. That's what's happened. So, if you'd like to look, I'm going to start reading at verse 21, chapter 11. And the presence of the Lord was with them with power, so that a great number learned to believe in him and turned to and surrendered themselves to the Lord. The rumours of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. Yep, original big church. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what grace and favour God was bestowing upon them, he was full of joy. And he continuously exhorted, which means to warn, urge and encourage them, all to cleave and remain faithful to and devoted to the Lord, with resolute and steady purpose of heart. For he was a good man, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and full of faith. And a large company was added to the Lord. Barnabas went on to Tarsus to hunt for Saul, and when he'd found him, he brought him back to Antioch. For a whole year they assembled together with and were guests of the church, and instructed a large number of people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Okay, I'm going to leave reading it there. But you can carry on while I'm talking, that's fine. So we're picking it up. They sent Barnabas, son of encouragement. If you're going to send anybody to a fledgling church, you want somebody who's going to be encouraging, don't you? Yes, you don't want somebody who's going to start teaching really complicated theology. Now, that's not to say really complicated theology is a bad thing, but if you want to be an encouraged church, then you send an encourager, don't you? So there are people in River who have a real gift of encouragement. Tom is one of them, who actually is not just an empty gift, but it's for your encouragement, because the Lord knows that churches need encouragement, especially churches that are planted, like Antioch was, and particularly for Antioch, because it was built on people who had scattered because of the fear. Yeah, a lot of them were fearful because they didn't want to be beaten and killed. So you have this Barnabas man who was amazing. Luke, who wrote Acts, never describes anyone else in Acts as good apart from Barnabas. Barnabas is a good man, a good man. It's good to have good people, isn't it, amongst us? A good man. He rejoiced in all that was going on. And he was a man of character rather than a man of position, really. Yeah? To say somebody is good and to have it in the word is a wonderful testimony to the character of the man, isn't it? So here he is, encouraging, continuously exhorting, a man of character rather than a man of position. So, let's have a quick look. Verse 23. When he arrived and saw what grace and favour, my version says, God was bestowing on them, he was full of joy. Favour means partiality, approval, to the benefit of. God was bestowing special favour onto the church at Antioch. My belief is that the Lord is pouring special favour onto the church in Slough. There's a word of encouragement for you, because, and I'm not being a flatterer, but because he really wants Slough back for himself. Yeah, there have been churches that have been pioneering in Slough for years and years and years, and they will see the reward of the suffering that the Lord has poured out for Slough. It's not just us at all. My view is actually the Lord is throughout the UK, but is calling places back that have been on his heart for years and years, generations upon generations, that have become godless, and he's looking for people who will partner with him, because he's God, we're not. So all he wants is hands and feet. He wants partners, and he promises us that we will do greater things than he did. And that's an encouragement, isn't it? So don't you want, when you're walking along, your shadow to fall on someone in Slough and see them healed? You know, the reality is that the promise of Scripture says we can do that. This is not just people whooping you up into a false sense of security. God is a big God and is looking for partnership and favour, to bestow favour on people who are wanting to walk with him in a radical relationship. Verse 23 also talks about Barnabas exhorting. And so exhorting means to urge, persuade, advise strongly. So it's to warn and urge and encourage. You know, we're not in the business of planting church so that we look good. I don't know whether you know why we're doing this. Because sometimes we can lose, when we walk in on a Sunday morning, we lose the meaning as to why we're here. Is that just me? Sometimes you think, why? Why am I doing this? It's in my heart and it's precious to me, but why are we meeting in a large hall with a small group of us? Why do we do it? You were thinking that this morning. There you go. That's encouraging. Because it's the reality. You know, I love authentic faith. I love to be authentic about where I'm at. I don't want to pretend that it's always easy to do the church thing. Yeah? I love Jesus and I love the Lord, but at times on Sunday morning, trying to get out. And then even when you get here, and I used to lead the congregation in Maidenhead, and when the loos were blocked and the heating's gone, and then you just think, why are we doing this? We're doing it because we love the Lord and he's looking for people to partner with him. And what we're saying is, if I put my hand in your hand, Jesus, you lead the way, I'll follow you and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And it takes it outside of ourselves and it puts it back where it belongs, which is in the heart of the Father who gave his Son for Slough. Yeah? It says, I'm going to put my hand in your hand, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and I will let you lead me into wherever you want to lead me, and I will commit to you even when it feels like we're small. Even when it feels like we haven't broken through yet. Mm-hmm. And you can be leading a huge church or be in a huge church and you can still feel like we're not breaking through. So it's actually nothing to do with size, but it is sometimes difficult when you're small to feel like you're making a difference, yeah? But it's the same problem if you're a large church, because you can feel the itch of that kind of, like, are we really making a difference? Are we becoming a clique? Are we becoming a club? But if you put your hand in the hand of Jesus and you say, I want to walk where you walk, because you're bigger than me, and I'll just follow you. And I'll expect to do things with partnership with you, that you say are bigger than what you did. You will do more than me, Jesus said. I'll give you my Holy Spirit so that you will walk in the authority that I walked, and you'll see more things than I did. Now, how encouraging is that? Because it gives a meaning to why we're here. Because we can lose the meaning to why we're in a place, can't we? Yeah? When you close the door on a Sunday lunchtime and you have your dinner and you think, well, what's the point? There is a point. Because the Lord's eyes are going over the whole earth looking for those who he can call his own, who he can partner with. Yeah? And I want Jesus to get the reward for his suffering, don't you? You know, he suffered and died for Slough. He suffered and died for everyone here. He's going to get the reward of his suffering in my own life, personally, as I follow him with integrity, by the grace of God. But he's also going to get the reward for his suffering for Slough and the Thames Valley and the UK. And so there are times in the conference, and it's all been taped, when I thought to myself, why are we doing this? Because we're not into fame, we're not into making our own names known at all. But we want to follow what the Lord's favour is. And it's his name that we want to raise up, isn't it? His name, not our name, his name. And so we'll see great things when we have that humility of spirit and heart, but also the excitement, so that when we see things happen, we do respond with joy. So when we hear of answered prayer, we go, yay! You know, I would love to have met Barnabas. Was he loud? Don't know. Probably. Encouraging people don't normally go around very quiet, do they? So if Barnabas was there in the Antioch church and they were sharing stories, he'd probably go, yes! Fantastic! I don't think he would have been a shrinking violet. That's my view. Yeah, so when you get people who are encouraging, they're great to be around, aren't they? Yeah? Because you can sense something in them where they're saying, whatever is happening, I'm still keeping my eyes fixed on the one who needs to get the reward, deserves the reward for his suffering. That's where it all matters. Everything else outworks here. Okay. Verse 23 also talks about, in my version, which is the Amplified, it talks about Barnabas encouraging them to remain devoted to the Lord, resolute and steady, with a steady purpose of heart. I want to encourage you to remain resolute and steady in your relationship with the Lord. Don't allow the things that come in to your thinking or experience to take away from the resolute, steady relationship with your Lord. It's so easy to get discouraged. It is actually easier to get discouraged than it is to get encouraged. Yeah? If you're anything like me, I mean, there are people whose glasses are always half full, aren't they? Anybody like that here? Great, great thing. There are people who have a tendency to see their glass half empty. And so for some people, it genuinely is not a problem to be positive and encouraging. For others, it's kind of instant. Everything's falling apart. I want to encourage you, if you are a glass half full person, be the glass half full person. Don't allow yourself to be silenced by the glass half empty people, because they need you. Okay? Let encouragement loose in Slough. Let it loose. Because it is so easy to go to the lowest common denominator and say, oh, I agree, yes, things are bleak. They're not. But you can say that when things go wrong. Be courageous enough to be an encourager and say, do you know what, it's not that bad. Let me tell you about what happened to me. And I can see a lot of it going on today. And you know what, we do not know what is released when we give our testimonies. It is phenomenal what happens when we speak out the testimony of what the Lord is doing. Testimony of the Lord is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy is the things that are to come. So when we speak out the good things that God is doing, it's prophetic. It's saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. So don't keep quiet, however small, however big. Keep expressing the goodness of God in your experience for the benefit of the body, because bodies grow when they're healthy. Yeah. So never think your story is too small, never, because it releases something in heaven which is a prophetic thing. I feel quite, sorry, I'm getting all serious, I feel quite strongly about that, because the enemy likes to keep us quiet, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's just like, if I throw this and this and this and I flick all these things at you, you'll keep quiet. Encouragement is warfare. Yeah? When we encourage ourselves, literally embolden ourselves, or when we encourage others, it's actually warfare, because what we're doing is seeing the enemy away, push him away. Yeah? So if I say to Sue, what you said this morning was fantastic about the pampering. You must never apologise for saying those kind of things, because they are spiritual. What I'm doing is I'm saying, go for it. Whatever you want to say at the front, say it. Because it brings courage into us. And it doesn't have to be religious or spiritual to do it. You don't have to qualify when something is good for the soul, for the spirit, when, you know, clearly had a great day. It's warfare, because the enemy would like to keep people quiet and say, ah, it's not important enough. It's just not spiritual enough. I thought it was great. Everybody's testimony was great. But you know, we need to listen to the Lord and say, actually, that will benefit people, because we are body, mind, soul and spirit, aren't we? And so encouraging words don't always have to be religious words. Yep. Okay, I nearly finished. We all need each other. No one can act in independence. The Antioch church needed Barnabas. Yep. And I want to encourage you as a church to get people speaking into you. Give Tom and the leadership team opportunities to be encouraging. Leadership team, listen in. It's important that you have a spirit of encouragement that is part of your, which you have, but I just want to encourage you in that. That actually you set your faces as a team, a leadership team, to be encouraging, which isn't flattery, but is actually to choose a spirit of encouragement for the body. And if you know you have a gift of encouragement, let it loose. I don't think there's a team here which will say, no, you have to keep quiet. There certainly isn't. Okay? Let it loose. It's warfare. It's prophetic. So just as I finish, I want to read some verses from Scripture for you. All the way through the Bible, all the way through, particularly in Paul's letters, it's dripping with encouragement. You know, I don't know whether you know, some of the churches are in a right state. Paul would be like, keep going, you're doing a great job. Yeah? Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and yearn to see, my delight and crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved, he says. Philippians is, it's just all over Philippians. If you want to get encouraged, read Philippians, okay? Deuteronomy, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. Maybe there are things going on in your life at the moment where you have reason to be afraid and terrified. The wonderful thing about Jesus is he has lived every single human condition that there is. We haven't got a God who's remote and made of gold or some precious metal or whatever. He's not an idol. He lived the human life. He cloaked himself in humility and he got on with it. So anything that you are going through, Jesus knows. Not just knows in his head, but knows it from experience. And so I want to encourage you that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Whatever experience you have gone through, you can guarantee that we have a God who has tasted every human experience that there is to taste and has finished it for you. Arms on the cross, it's finished. Beaten it for you. Gives you a way through, access into the heart of the Father for you. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Galatians 6, last one. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, I don't want to leave you with the impression that I think you're giving up at all. I just realised that because that could be how it sounds. It's not at all. But every congregation in River needs encouragement. That's why I'm doing the rounds of this. Spoke this in Marlow. Had a different feel to it. Some things are said differently. That's okay. But every congregation, I thought actually the Lord wants to be encouraging for people. That's why I'm here to do this morning. And that's why I was not going to go to A&E. And I'm sorry if you think that's me not being a supportive wife. But it's because I knew that that was just as important to be contested by the enemy, the message, as Chris. And so we agreed absolutely to come and do this, because actually it's a word in season. Be encouraged, you know. The enemy might be around like a prowling lion, and I'm not making light of it, but the Lord is a remarkably, extraordinarily wonderful Father, and he is right here with you every time you meet, every time you're at home, when you're having your own quiet times with the Lord. He's speaking, waiting for an opportunity to visit you, waiting for an opportunity to touch and comfort and encourage you. So be encouraged. I want to just pray now for you all, for a fresh outpouring of encouragement amongst you, and for the strength to choose encouragement over discouragement or criticism. Okay? Because it saps energy from us all. When we're misrepresented, when things don't quite go as they should, you feel the energy go out of your feet, don't you? Do you know what I mean? All of a sudden your feet, not physically necessarily, but spiritually, you feel like you've got bricks on your feet. And you just want to shake them off. And when we encourage each other, that's effectively shaking the bricks off your feet so that you can walk free. Yeah? And it's an underrated gift, encouragement. Yeah. So I'm just going to pray for you all. Can you stand and just maybe, just a good act of faith, if you're comfortable, just to put your hands out in front of you. And I'm just going to pray that the Lord brings a fresh gift, a fresh wave of the gift of encouragement for you individually, but also corporately. Yep. So first of all, I'll just pray for the individual thing. Holy Spirit, I just want to pray now that you would gift each person here with a word of encouragement from your heart to their heart. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that there would be dreams and visions and words from you, words from people, articles they read in the paper, whatever it is, Lord, you're very creative. I want to pray for special word of encouragement for each person here today during this coming week, that they will know that they have been spoken to by their Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, you are aching to connect with us every day because you love relationship. That is the truth. And the enemy would have us believe that you're remote and not remotely interested in who we are, and that our life's experience is because we've somehow done something wrong. You're aching for relationship with us individually. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you would release now over this body fresh words of encouragement. Individually, but now corporately, Lord, I pray for this to be an encouraging church. I pray, Holy Spirit, that there will be stories coming out of this place that will just see your name lifted up, that will see the benefit of the body of Christ, that there would be evidence of joy flowing through, bubbling up more and more in this body, so that they're free to be who you've called them to be. And I want to just make a stand against any demonic power that has sought to push away the spirit of encouragement and joy over this body. And just make a stand now, in Jesus' name, that the angels around this body will see to flight all the things that the enemy would throw at it, but also the power of Christ in me. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you have finished it, that you have finished any work of the enemy that would destroy. And in your resurrection, that was what you threw back in his face. And I want to thank you, Father, for the gift of encouragement that that is to us individually. But I want to pray more and more for this to be an Antioch, a place where people come and see what is happening and respond with joy. And Lord, I want to pray for miracles and signs and wonders, and I want to pray for a deepening of the love between each one here in this place. I want to pray that there will be a release of a choice to love and encourage, and to take the step over the hurdle which says, my experience can't let me do this. But actually, when we do, it wins battles in the heavenlies. It's something prophetic is released. So I just pray blessing on you, Slough congregation, blessing on you, and more of the favour of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you.